Welcome, everybody, to episode 677 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Breakman the Bold. Eric the Great is on assignment this week. Breakman, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. It seems Johnny Wufei in chat wants to go play Mario Kart and settle a store show. Frankly, I can't blame him. You should send me an invite.
We all should just play Mario Kart and just say fuck the show today.
You know? Just record what we talk on the chat.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You fucker, take this blue shell, mother. God damn it!
How do you
shut me again?
Yeah, how do you avoid the blue shell? Do you just jump it? Because I can never avoid the blue shell.
I'm never in first place, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's true too. I mean, you know, but some people like ninjas avoid that damn blue shell, and I'm like, how the hell do you do that, man? So weird.
My favorite thing was always the lightning to shrink them so you could run them over.
Oh, I love the lightning. The lightning's the best, man. I really like it. We got lots to talk about on today's show, a bunch of news. But before we get to that, how was your week, Breakman?
Oh, it was all right, I guess. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it was all right.
Life's got to be good in Cincinnati.
I know,
right now, right?
It's been, what do you call? How should I say this? It's been exciting, but it's been nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right answer because it's been exciting, but it's been at the same time. What is the word I'm looking for?
Nervousness.
Is the best I can get. Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
It's like the butterfly.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll say that.
You know, the closer I get to the Super Bowl break, man, I'm thinking the fucking Bengals are a team of destiny, man. I think every time they're not picked to win, you know, and they just come through, man. They're like one of those teams, man. I mean,
no, Johnny Wufei just told us how he gets away with it.
I always go in reverse. And hit the other drivers too. Oh, wow.
So just kind of break or in his case just go in reverse, like, and let the other somebody else take the blue shell for you. That's kind of clever. But again, I'm never in the lead, so I never know.
I mean, there's got to be a way. I've seen ninjas in that fucking game, man. It's crazy. I mean, I do like that game, but
I suck terribly at racing games.
I do too. I mean, I suck at all gaming in general, but you know, it is what it is. But anyways, let's get to the news so we can get through that and we can talk sports or whatever else since Eric's not here. Hang on.
RPG News.
All right, Breakman, you want to do
sure.
the honors?
Coming to us live from RPG site, Edge of Eternity developer Midgar Studio acquired by Nacon. Nacon?
Nacon,
they've announced. Nacon has announced the French-based developer of Edge of Eternity is now theirs. They cackle deeply. Right. The announcement in full can be found below. Why would I say that? Because you can't see below.
Right.
But,
I think you should call it Naked Con. That sounds better.
Mm-hmm. The game is set for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Xbox Series X, and Xbox Game Pass on February 10th. And the Switch version will be coming on February 23rd. So ooh, there you go.
All right.
Edge of Eternity. Yeah. Eternity.
Weiland says he's just spiteful on Mario Kart with that blue turtle shell. I hate that.
Being in last place makes me spiteful, so I get it. I'm tired of watching everybody vote by. Like, God damn it.
I know. All right,
hey, did you just lap me?
Right.
I lapped you twice, actually.
Twice, I know. That's usually the case with me. Yeah, not once, but twice. Let's move on to the next story from RPGsite.net. Octopath Traveler, Champions of the Continent, coming to North America and Europe in 2022 with a beta test planned. Oh, God. It's about ready to crash. I know it. Test planned for spring. So there you go. Great. Octopath Traveler actually is really good. I played that demo. I never got the game, but it's one of those games I want to go on sale and buy eventually. But it's old school goodness, man. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I definitely want to play that sometime. I really want to try the demo for Triangle Strategy. The worst name game ever, but
Triangle Strategy.
Looks fun.
Yeah. I'll check them out. All right. Next story break.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Kowloon High School Chronicle launches for PlayStation 4 in the West on March 18th. P-Cube and Arc System Works have announced that this game will be releasing on March 18th, day and date with the Japanese version. That's kind of cool. The announcement is specific for a European release digitally with a North American PS4 release not yet confirmed. However, a limited physical edition will be available exclusively via Funstock, which includes two acrylic stands and a collector's box, and ships worldwide. Why do you need two stands?
I don't know.
Just one stand's all you need to hold the cake. Whatever. Kowloon High School Chronicle, originally released for PlayStation 2 in 2004, published by Atlas. However, the adventure RPG Dungeon Crawler had never seen an official English release until the Switch version in 2021. Newport's art and graphics have been redone from its original release. Give you some bullet points. This first-person dungeon-crawling JRPG with visual novel story elements. Ordinary high school student by day, mysterious and aloof treasure hunter by night. That kind of sounds cool. You're Indiana Jones at fucking night, and you're Peter Parker during the day. Right. Cult classic originally released for Japan only in 2000. Wait, you just said that. Battle ancient and mythical creatures with turn-based combat system. Explore labyrinth dungeons, seeking hidden relics. Build relationships with other students, recruit others into your party, and is already available on the Switch, as we said.
Yeah, my screen crashed, so I'll get to the next one once you're done there, Breakman.
I am actually done. Did you want me to just do the next one? Because no. I've got it ready.
Well, if you got it, go right ahead. Real quickly, Wyland says, Jesus, I hit something on my keyboard and somehow crashed my browser. I think you did the same to my computer as well, telepathically, Wyland. All right, go ahead, Breakman.
Coming to us live from RPG site, science fiction survival horror RPG Chernobylite launches for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X on April 21st along PC Enhanced Edition. Publisher All In, I like the name. Game All In Games developer The Farm 51 have announced it. Why am I repeating myself essentially? The science fiction survival horror RPG previously released for PC in July 2021 after an early access period, followed by the PS4 and Xbox One release in September 2021. For those who already own Chernobylite on PC or console, upgrading your version to either Next Gen or Enhanced Edition will be offered for free. That's awesome. A physical PlayStation 5 version of the game will also be available via Perp Games. Additionally, the first of four content drops will launch on the same day with the Blue Flames DLC, which adds new weapons and events. There you go.
Yeah. You know, for the most part, developers are handling upgrades to the PS5 and Xbox Series XS pretty well. There are certain ones that charge you $10 extra, which really fucking sucks. I think that blows, but
yeah,
you know. Whatever. All right, let's move on to the next, if it comes up here, let me, oh, there it is. Come to us from RPGSite.net, The Cruel King and the Great Hero, delayed to March 11th in Europe, March 15th in North America. So there's this.
How cruel of them.
Yes, it is very cruel. Very cruel treatment. But there you go. It's not a big delay, so there you go. All right, what do we got next, Break?
Coming to us live from Screen Still Loading, RPG Site, RPG Time, The Legend of Wright releases for Xbox Series X, S, Xbox One, and Windows on March 10th. The game will be priced at $29.99. And RPG Time, The Legend of Wright was originally announced on, who cares when it was announced? The game takes place within a creative schoolboy's notebook, which includes not only RPG-like gameplay, but also moments of adventure game and side-scrolling shooters. Oh, that's kind of interesting. I'd like to see more about this.
Yeah, I'm trying to play the trailer, but it's got a, I don't know, it's got a really cool little art style, kind of like a Paper Mario-esque looking like type deal. Let me fast forward, see if we see any gameplay in this thing. It looks like, you know what it looks like? Like a coloring book come to life. Type deal.
That does sound cool. Yeah, like I can see from the still image, but my video is locked up, so yeah. Always does this.
This looks interesting, man. This looks a little different. You know what it looks like? Like that game on the PlayStation with Sackboy. What the hell is the name of that game?
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet, sort of.
I love Little Big Planet. Yeah. That's a good game.
Yeah. Underrated, in my opinion. I know it's one of their big tentpoles, but I
was going to say it had sequels. I don't know if it was underrated. Anyway, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not as highly regarded as other things on their list, you know, like Uncharted and stuff like that. But
yeah, I know. Well, Kratos rules above all, so there's
right,
that.
Right. All right. I'll go ahead and do the next one too, as well, Breakman. Okay. RPGsite.net, Final Fantasy VI Pickle Remaster.
Now I want a Pickle Remaster.
I want a Pickle Remaster as well, man. Pixel Remaster, dated for February 23rd. I think this is the one that we're all waiting for, right? This is the one. And from all accounts, it looks really good. I'm going to try to play this little... snippet here.
Of all time, but how much are they going to charge me for it?
Does it really matter when it comes to this particular game?
Yeah, it does, because the square. There it is, $17.99. That's just what I thought.
Well, I mean, I mean that's to be expected, but I mean, because that's what the other ones. You'll get a 20% discount if you get it early, though. So what is that? $3 off. So like $15. I'd pay $15 for this. I would pay it for a remaster.
Such a good game.
This is top five for you, right?
This is number one for me. This is my favorite game.
Yeah. I love it. I love this game. I think it's, it's debatable whether or not it's the greatest game of all time, but it's pretty fucking great, man. I mean, this game has to be in everybody's top five list, right? I mean, whether you're an RPG fan or not, this game is just... it's a wonderful game, and it should be in everybody's catalog. I think 15 is okay. I'm looking forward to Switch Sports. No joke. Really? Wow. I can't believe that. Why? All right. But this looks good, man. This Pixel Remaster is going to be really fucking good. I mean, I think people would pay 20. I mean, don't tell Square Enix that.
I just don't want to pay that kind of money for the game that I've already, you know, when it originally came out, it was, what, $70 or something?
Yeah.
It was an outrageous price for a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. People paid it, though.
I know. I was one of those people.
Yeah, I know. I didn't pay it. I couldn't pay. I could never pay nearly that amount of money when I was, you know, younger, but whatever.
Well, I was always working, so I always had money to waste on video games. Instead of saving anything, I wasted it on video games. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on.
All right, next story break.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes brings Three Houses cast to Switch on June 24th. This is another Dynasty Warriors type game. Let me see, this is from the Team Ninja spinoff series, got a brief reveal. It'll be coming out June 24th, 2022, as I just said. The cast of the 2019 RPG looks like the return under the Musou
banner, yeah.
Musou banner this year, as Edelgard, Dimitri, and Claude made their debut during the new footage. While Byleth was present, Nintendo only shared clips of their Lady left option. I don't even know what I just said. Byleth and all of her warring peers certainly look a bit refreshed too. The Warrior spinoff has added a layer of polish and outfit tweaks that look fantastic for round two of the cast. Three Hopes is a all new story, but still takes place in the world of houses.
Yeah, so, if you like Dynasty Warriors, you're gonna like this. This is nothing like the Three Houses Fire Emblem last iteration, but
I kind of wanted to like the Dynasty Warriors games as kind of a button mashing thing, but they never just they didn't really. Sometimes they would kind of satisfy, but the most part, like, there weren't. What was that? There was another game that was set in a fantasy world where I was slaying tons and tons of characters that I liked just a lot more than Dynasty Warriors.
Did you ever play the Hyrule Warriors one?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. It's a lot like this, man. I don't know which one you're talking about, but it's. I mean, you're right. Like, you want simplicity with those games. Sometimes they get a little out excuse me, out of their element a bit.
Yeah, well, with the Dynasty Warriors especially, like, they've gone on so long, they try and throw new elements at them, and then they get this complex plot, and it's like, I'm just here to button mash. I don't want to read anything.
The plots are cool and all, but it's too much to keep up, you know? You're thinking, it's the same way I'm thinking, Brake. It's a confusing, it gets too confusing at points when you just want to just, you know, button mash, like you said. You know, it's like, it's not
I'll
one of
fill
those...
in the blanks in my head. I'll make up the story as I go along. Right. This guy's name is Mac, and he is going to go fight the evil tyrant Bowser.
No, he's going to go fight the evil tyrant Tyson. You said Tyson. Mac. Yeah. Like little Mac.
I was about to say Bowser, the employee of Nintendo, not Bowser the...
Not
Princess Peach's husband.
I got you. Yeah. All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp launches on April 8th for Nintendo Switch. So there you go. Were you a big Advanced Wars guy?
I love Advanced Wars, yes. I was looking forward to this game. I don't want to pay $60 for it, though.
Well, get...
Yeah, I don't think like the improvements are enough for a $60 game, but... You know, I mean, they added voice acting, and there's going to be online multiplayer, but, you know, this is Nintendo online multiplayer, so...
I know, man. Like, that's never a hard sell, right?
Yeah.
Anytime Nintendo multi... I mean, I'm not a big multiplayer player at all, period, regardless, but... I mean, the last place I want to play multiplayer is fucking Nintendo, you know? I mean, I'm guessing by next... generation, they'll have their shit together on online shit, but you know, because they're always like one or two systems behind on everything, whether it be graphics or online or whatever. There were quite a bit of RPGs in that direct. We're talking about them, Wylan. So next story, Breakman.
Oh, and I actually lied, because I watched the video of this one, too, out of curiosity. Because I do want to play this one as well. Comes to us live from RPG Site. Square Enix announced Chrono Cross the Radical Dreamers Edition remaster launches on April 7th. So, like, that's coming really quick. Announced during today's, or I guess that was Wednesday's direct. Chrono Cross is back with a remaster on April 7th, titled What I Just Said. It hasn't been out since 1999, so it's been a while. Square Enix confirms the re-release was coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC based on the Nintendo eShop page. The game will be priced at $19.99. Ooh! Now you got me really interested. Chrono Cross the Radical Dreamers Edition includes new features, including the ability to turn off encounters, as well as an enhanced soundtrack. I don't want to fight enemies. I just don't know if they're... I wish I could do that in like the old Dragon Quest games. It also has improved character models, new character artwork, a new background filter feature, HD font, and more. And I was watching the video online because people were giving it a lot of hate, and it looked fine to me. Square Enix notes that the HD filter for the 3D models, illustrations, font, and background can be toggled off, though, in an all-or-nothing fashion. You can't have the new art with the old font, for example. Even more additions are detailed in the blog post, such as a speed-up turbo-like functionality and a battle boost, which seem to be in-game cheats, like similar to these seen in various Final Fantasy re-releases. Radical Dreamers, a text-based adventure for the Stalview, serving as a side story for Chrono Trigger, comes bundled with Chrono Cross. After launching in 1996, Radical Dreamers would never release anywhere outside of Japan. However, the story did inspire parts of director and writer Masato Kato's work in Chrono Cross.
I don't know. I'm interested. I mean, why not? Chrono Cross is right. I mean, it gets a bad rap because it was like kind of a letdown next to Chrono Trigger, you know.
But I never played it.
Yeah, it's not a bad game.
I wanted to, though. It was one of those
not games. A bad
it
game.
It's one of those pile of shame type. Well, it's not a pile of shame because I never owned it, I should say. But it's one of those games that I always wanted to try but never got a chance.
Freak 5 is in chat. What's up, Freak 5? Welcome on in. Let's see who else. Anito is in there. Stu Lou 89's in there. Welcome on in. So there you go. All right. Anything else on that break?
No, and I take back, I watched another video that's on this list. What is wrong with me? I completely forgot about it until I'm looking at this list. Like, oh, yeah, I watched that video, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 1994 right. Super Famicom JRPG Live A Live coming to Nintendo Switch featuring HD 2D art set to release on July 22nd. So it's, wow, it's published by Nintendo, so you can pre-order it. Now, and it's priced at $49.99.
And this is supposed to be a pretty good RPG that we never got.
Yes, I've heard really, really good things about this. I'm definitely not paying $49.99 for it, but...
No, I'm going back with the Chrono Cross with the $20 price tag. Yeah, that's my speed right there.
I think that's more... Well, I mean, we're both cheapos, man. I mean, right. Let's get it. I think you pronounce... Live A Live... I mean, Live Aid, whatever, Wylan.
Just call Live Aid and let's move on.
Live Aid, yes. Live Aid coming soon. So there you go. All right, Breakman, next story.
And here's another video I watched, and I wish I'd never sold this game. Anyway, it comes to us live from RPG site. Mother and Earthbound join Nintendo Switch Online Library today. So that's really cool. These two titles, Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings, are out now. It's known Mother 3, but we'll take it, says this author who is bitching, but I had the original Earthbound. I wish I'd never sold it. Since the series 1989, Nintendo's released both games outside of Japan, but not their 2006 follow-up Mother 3. Why is this person obsessed with Mother 3? We're talking about... naming scheme is...
Freak 5 is Exile. Son of a bitch. I've been waiting to do that. Anyways, go ahead.
Mother is Earthbound Beginnings. Yeah, that's the NES, or I should say the Famicom game that we never received here. While Mother 2 is simply Earthbound, which is, you know, the game that we did receive, and I sold like an idiot. this is, if you have their subscription, you can play these games right now, which is cool.
You can play these games with a subscription?
Launched with the RetroPack library late last year. Today's announcement brings both the Nintendo Switch subscription service, which, I think I'm talking to myself now. I'm falling over my own tongue. But I thought, so these are coming to the, are they on their game service, on their console, the virtual console?
That's what I'm wondering. Look, Super NES, Nintendo Switch Online, and NES.
Available. So we can play them right now.
Yes,
awesome.
Yes. So Freak says, I know what I'm playing tonight. So there you go. Yeah, that's really cool. They're going to put those on their service. Really nice.
Earthbound was the first game that had one of the things that I absolutely loved in RPGs. I don't see it enough, but when the characters are on screen, if your character is powerful enough, the enemies are like,
just
fuck
run
no.
Away. Yeah.
Trying to run away from you. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not going to let you escape.
I like that feature because that makes it a little more like kind of like you really shouldn't be battling these things. They're not worth your time type deal.
Right, like in, when I was talking about Dragon Quest earlier, like there are times I wish I could turn it off. Like I don't want a random battle when I'm by the starting castle and I'm level 40.
Well,
I could flick a slime and kill it. Like I don't need to fight it.
Well, in fairness, you do have like potions that you can throw that, you know, give you a short time of not battling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, but I agree. Like that should be a feature in most RPGs. A lot of modern RPGs do that, so that is a really nice thing to do. Once you get strong enough, they're like, run away.
No, I don't want anything of that. I don't want a piece of that. I'm sorry, sir.
I know.
You damn right better call me sir. That's right. Okay.
You used to be my boss, bitch, and now I'm your boss, bitch, motherfucker.
Yep.
All right, anything else on that break?
No, it's a great game. Everybody needs to check these two out. If you have Nintendo Switch and you have the online service, play them.
Yes, good idea. All right, another good idea is maybe playing this game. It's coming to us from RPGSide.net. Front Mission First Remake coming to the Nintendo Switch this summer. So there you go. I mean, I never played Front Mission. I don't know. It's strategy, right?
Yeah.
You would be all over this.
Strategy with like mechs and stuff. You know, it's the future. Yeah. The future.
So you might like this quite a bit. I'm looking at the trailer now. It's a very nice cinematic, but do you have any gameplay? That's what I want to see. Let's see. Any gameplay whatsoever? No gameplay.
No gameplay. That's lame.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from the screen that's still loading, RPG site. Marvelous to release juvenile RPG Loop 8 for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. What do they mean by juvenile? The Japanese version of the February 2022... Why do I have to read that? It unveiled Loop 8, a Japanese juvenile RPG that Marvelous released in 2022. You know, I'm skipping ahead. This is stupid. Loop 8 will take place in a Japanese rural town in August 19... 1983. The game's core elements will let the player go back in time. The player will assume the role of a male high school student named Nini. Nini? Nini?
No idea.
He will have to find out certain people who have been inhabited by menacing monsters and engage in otherworldly battles while building relationships with other characters. The game will also include an emotional AI that generates different character reactions based on the situation and relationship status. That's interesting. Game design and scenario. I'm just doing this for Frank. Yuri Shibamura, character designers in Morikura.
I love it.
VTuber? And what the hell is VTube?
I don't know, man.
It's a like VTuber Kazuna Al AI. I don't know. What the hell am I even saying right now?
I have no idea, but keep going. I love it.
Okay. Shingo Adachi, concept art. Kitsunero, that's it. I guess that's his, he's like Madonna, or she's Madonna. I don't know. Music composer Noriyuki Iwadare. Iwadare?
God, I love this. I love this more than anything.
Yoichi Miyagi is development producer, and theme song singer Naho Kisu.
Oh, not bad. All right.
I think that one was Chinese.
I like the name of the song for the Kitsunero, the Vocaloid song Amatsu Kitsune. That's always cool, but I don't even know what that means. Something about a fox. I know Kitsune is a fox, so there you go.
I still don't understand what they mean by juvenile RPG.
That's what I don't understand either. I watched the trailer, and it's not like a bunch of little teeny kids running around or anything. So I don't know if it's like not mature themed. It's just, you know, got kid themes, or it seemed like maybe a teen type game, so I don't know if that's what they mean. It wasn't like a chibi game or anything, so
yeah, that's, I don't know. We need to know more, because it doesn't sound, the description doesn't make it sound like it sounds like it's taking it seriously.
Yeah It does look like a serious game. I mean very little gameplay, but it looked okay,
of course, you know?
So whatever. All right, anything else on that break?
Nope.
All right, next up on the docket today, from RPGSite.net, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 launches in September for the Nintendo Switch. Character art and story ties revealed. I don't know if you want me to play. I'll just play the trailer. Cause,
I was going to say, the people in the chat want to see it, probably.
Let's take a look at the trailer. Let's listen in as well. Ooh, like the music.
Fighting in order to live, and living to fight. That's the way of our world. Ionios.
Tell me, what would possess you to side with them?
We're fighting because there are enemies to kill.
I refuse to believe you're him.
I knew it. I saw this coming.
You're not enemies now.
Fine for you, isn't it? All that time you've got.
You could try to move forwards again.
How can our lives be so snuff and little, do you?
They're not your friends anymore. They're his fuel.
Sword March. The land pierced by a great sword. It's the only way you're gonna defeat the real enemy.
Whatever life is lost, I won't let you soldier it all alone.
What good filling up these flickering clocks in our eyes? It will never replace the friends we've lost.
The flame clock, it has to go!
Ouroboros abhor this world. They must be erased without a trace.
Yeah, what she said.
I think it looks good, to be honest with you. I'm not going to play the rest of it. I don't want to get a copyright strike from fucking Nintendo. But Weiland says, yep, looks like Xenoblade. Looks fine. I mean, that's about the best a Switch can do. So, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, I played a little bit of the first one. I liked what I played. I lost a little bit of interest because I started playing something else, which is par for the course for me. But I don't know. It looks okay. Looks good. A lot of intrigue in this one. More story, looks like. You know, people switching sides and big battles and stuff like that. So I'm down. I'm down. I'll wait till it goes down in price, though, and then I'll get it. But all right, anything else? Any other comments, Breaker?
I was gonna say you read the article. Wasn't me.
No, I know.
No, I don't have anything.
All right, next story, Breakman.
Coming to us live from RPG site, SD Gundam Battle Alliance launches worldwide for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch, and PC. Sorry, Bandai Namco has released a new Gundam action RPG. Which I've just said, and I said it'll be coming out for these systems. As suggested by the title, the game will feature Gundams and other mobile suits in super deformed chibi forms. So Zaku's, chibi Zaku's again.
You know what it looks like?
Similar to the SD Gundam G Generation Strategy RPG series. Frank?
It looks a lot like Legos. Like the Lego games, man. Like chibi Lego. So, and very bland, by the way.
They had a chibi Gundam show.
Yeah,
This is what it looks like. It looks like that show they had. It was absolutely terrible. I hated it. But
yeah, I mean, the environments look really bad. The character models are decent, but the environments just—it looks like one of those old Godzilla games. You know, like where the environments just look really shitty, but Godzilla himself looked really good. That's what it looks like to me. Weiland says it's a Gundam. Kaboom. Yeah. Anything else?
There's
on this?
A list of all the mechs that are represented in this game from different series of Gundams. There's a lot. I'm just going to read the synopsis here. The action RPG brings players back to another world for the strange phenomenon known as breaks, experiencing original works from an array of Gundam stories while striving to restore the world to normal. So this is like enter the Gundam verse, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
This is the Gundam verse. There you go.
Yeah.
SD Gundam Battle Alliance encourages players to lead a 3-unit squadron to experience exciting cooperative battles with a multitude of characters and extensive mechanics. Players can experience the solo story or take advantage of each mobile suit's unique strength to win the day by joining with friends. There you go.
All right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, the character models are great. The environments look bland, but, I mean, I guess, if you're into the Gundam thing. I never found, like, mech suit-type games very... very, very fun. The only game that I really liked was like, what the hell was that game? Was it Xenogears? God damn it, I can't. No, it
you
was.
You had Max and Xenogears, but I think you're thinking of Xenosaga maybe?
Xenosaga, that's it. The Xenosaga games were great. I like that's an underrated RPG for sure, so. Anyways, last story of the day, and then we're done with the news. Coming to us, actually, we got one more after this.
I was going
to
say we got two more stories
right
here.
RPGsite.net, Marvelous Europe announces side-scroller action RPG Mandragora for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and Nintendo Switch, and so all everything. So there you go. Let's see. It's set in the vast, interconnected world of Faeldum, I guess that's how you say that, where monsters have put the lives of humankind on the brink. Primal Game Studio promises horrific monsters, vibrant locations, brutal combat, so this is Dark Souls, basically, and harsh moral choices. It looks really, you know, it looks like a colorful version of Salt and Sanctuary, is the best way that I can describe this game. If you took Salt and Sanctuary and put... colorful game like have you ever played those Trine games, Breakman?
What?
Trine, T-R-I-N-E, like Trine.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of got that visual kind of flair, but looks okay. I mean, I you know, yeah, you got through it. Yeah, quit bitching, Breakman. That's what Weiland's saying. So there you go, Mandragora. So. If you're looking for a colorful Dark Souls side-scrolling adventure, there you go. All right, last story, Breakman.
coming to us live from Gamatsu. Disgaea 6 Complete announced for PS5, PS4, and PC. Nippon Ichi Software and NIS America have announced Disgaea 6 Complete, as I've just said. The game will launch on June 16th in Japan for 6,980 yen, or 7,676 yen with tax. Damn, what the hell?
That's a lot of tax.
It's followed by all three versions this summer in North America, Europe, and Australia. Let me see here. Disney 6, oh, that's the original one release. It doesn't actually say when the North American dates are going to be, but pre-orders for the limited edition are now available for PlayStation 5 and 4 for $109.99, which include a copy of Deluxe Edition game, hardcover art book, 2-disc soundtrack. They misspelled hardcover. I like that. That's funny. Hardcover cover. 2-disc soundtrack, steelbook, cloth poster, 4 art cards, and a collector's box. No pins. Thank you, God. In Japan, pre-orders of Nippon. Yeah, we don't care about those. That's fine.
Yeah. So there's the news for you. That was a lot of news to cover, Breakman.
Yeah, I think somebody did that to us on purpose since we had a short news week last week.
I agree. I think Eric got mad he couldn't be here this week. And homie, discounts this week. Sale on the PlayStation Store and Xbox. Too many games to list. Even if you want to condense them down, Breakman, a lot of times there are a lot of the same type of games that are always on sale for varying prices and nothing really of note unless you have something.
No, not that I'm aware of, no.
All right, should I play your music?
No.
Nothing? Not even Freak 5 this week?
No.
Alright.
We can't expect him to do it every week. Like, it's not his job.
You guys want to send something to Breakman, send it at RP Grinders on Twitter, and you will get a shout out on the show.
Yes.
What? You've been what?
Slacking.
Yeah, you've been slacking too.
I need some perverted questions to send Breakman.
You do need to get some perverted questions to send Breakman.
Oh, good. I know just the person to ask.
Okay, go right ahead. Anyways, let's move on to this.
Inquiring minds want to know.
What you been playing, Breakman? That's what they want to know.
Well, I've been playing the same shit as normal. Halo Infinite, I'm playing the single player again, trying to unlock all the shit that I missed. And there's a lot of shit, like audio files. So, I'm enjoying playing it again. So I'm not like rushing through it. I'm doing everything again just because. Yeah. I'm probably gonna play it again on Legendary, but at that point, I'm just gonna try and breeze through it because I'm not gonna get my ass kicked for hours and hours and hours.
Right. Wyland says he'll get right on sending you something on Twitter there, Breakman. So expect something within the next decade or so from Wyland. All right. Yeah. What else?
So, yeah, Halo Infinite. Now, the multiplayer, like, their store I'm kind of disappointed in. Like, they update it once a week, and they put goofy things in there, but then there's never, like, anything that I'm like, yes, I got to get this. Or if it is, it's... Like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to waste my points on that. Like, you can get a skull, like a bull skull for your warthog.
Yeah.
You know, like...
That would be cool. That's a nice thing.
Yeah, and it does look cool, but it's like, I think it's like 600 points or something. And it's like, I think it was like $6, so...
They should have like a dollar store. Like, you know, where you could get cheap little stuff, like, for your points. I always wondered why virtual stores didn't have, like, bargain bin type stuff where they allowed, like, a certain amount of, cheap things to be bought, you know.
I don't understand why they don't, like, start heavily discounting their stuff when their games are, you know, long in the tooth and there's nobody buying them and stuff at that point. Like, wouldn't you sell some of them? I mean, what money are you losing? They exist.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Like, I mean, discount all the time. That would be the proper model for everything, right? I mean, PlayStation Store does it. The Xbox Store does it. I don't know why, like ecosystems within games don't do it, like, all the time. Like, nonstop, you know? Whatever.
That would make sense to me. Like, what was that game I was playing? The Fallout Shelter. They offered sales like every month. Like, here's, like, buy some stuff here. Like, it's on sale at price. It's still too much. Fuck off.
Yeah. Freak Five says he's been playing Animation Throwdown. Never even heard of that, Freak Five. Wyland says, I can't even remember if I played anything this week. My 5G shot must be to blame. Yeah, probably.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe.
But one of the things they added this week was a replica Halo that circles around the head of your Spartan for like a few hundred points. That's the kind of stupid shit they're putting in the game, and like they don't get you're not given a big variety each week. It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, that bull thing on the Warthog would be pretty badass, like visually.
Right.
You know.
But it is. Whatever. But they're also can unlock a bunch of stuff playing for a single player too, so that's good. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And the battle pass, but the battle pass gets up to level 100. I think I'm at like level 75 now, and it ends in May. So what happens once I've reached 100? And I'm just gonna just wait. Nothing I can do. Yeah. I guess.
One says he's got his second vaccine shot on Sunday. Did you feel shitty afterwards, Wyland? Like, what were the side effects? What else? Anything else, Break?
I also played Breath of the Wild. I played a little bit of just wandering around aimlessly. I don't know why I end up doing that so much. It's I'll go do something like, for instance, I was looking for arrow. So I was going from stable to stable to buy more arrows, and at one stable I saw something like, or no, it was a town, it was somebody, a little kid's like, hey, come this way, and I'm like, okay, and I go through this, I'm off doing another thing, and then I find a quest, and I'm doing, you know, oh, like, oh, here's a shrine, like, I'll go do that, and, you know, 2 hours later, instead of buying the arrows I needed, I'm climbing a mountain in the frozen wasteland for some reason, because I've just kind of wandered off doing other shit. It's like, ooh, that shot. Ooh, what's that over there?
It's definitely a game you can get lost in and just forget about stuff for hours on end, man. That's what I found about that game.
Looking for the last memory, and I so am resisting the urge to cheat just because I'm having fun, like, looking around, exploring, because I've gone to some areas I've never gone before, and then found some things. It's like, oh, that's cool. I didn't see that. Oh, here's a new fish that I didn't have before. Now I can upgrade some stuff. That was a whole thing today, as I went to upgrade some armor. So I was after some sort of plant. So I went to one area, and I saw an enemy in the distance. And I went after that enemy, and then I saw something else, and I went after that, and, you know.
You're like, ooh, shiny.
And then 2 hours later, I don't think I ever got the item I was actually looking for. I've been trying to farm some farm to get my equipment upgraded, too. So I've been fighting those Lionels, which are still the hardest boss I've fought in the game, and they're not a boss. It's irritating.
Yeah.
They're just a regular enemy.
Yeah.
None of the bosses I've fought even come close to being as that hard. Wow. It's just really whatever. Yeah. And more of the Cobra Kai game, which is just not much, because I've mostly been playing Zelda and Halo.
Freak 5 says it's a mobile card game with characters from Family Guy, Futurama, King of the Hill, American Dad, and Bob's Burgers.
Futurama's says, coming back again.
It is. I did hear that.
I got thumbs up right now. I'm so happy.
I've never seen one episode of Futurama.
I love Futurama. I've always been a big fan of Futurama.
Yeah. Wyland said had to take an extra day off from work because of the second shot. I was completely drained and my arm hurt worse than the first one. Other than that, I was fine. Didn't get sick. I got sick. I got like a fever with the booster, but it wasn't bad. Like one and a half days later, I was, you know, good to go. No big deal.
The arm pain I get with every shot, but for me, I got the Johnson & Johnson shot. I threw up almost immediately, and then after that, I was kind of tired the rest of the day, and then I was fine. The the booster shot, nothing. I was absolutely fine.
I heard the Johnson & Johnson's the worst one to get. Like, the absolute worst, like, as far as sickness goes.
Yeah. That made me sick really fucking quick. Like, I was not expecting, like, to just, like, we just want you to sit down for a few minutes in so we can watch you. Like, that's been the standard with every shot, you know. You get a flu shot, they're like, before you go, we just want you to sit here for a moment, just watch it. And nothing's ever happened. This time it's like, oh my God, I gotta throw the fuck up. What the fuck?
Your system was like, fuck this. Full rejection. Yeah. Let's see. The only thing I played this week, a little bit of Phoenix Rising, and I'm talking literally like 30 minutes. I couldn't, you know, I just had literally no time to do much of anything, you know, other than sleep, get sleep when I could. I mean, it's been a pretty chaotic week, but Phoenix Rising is still good, man. I mean, it's still a great game. It's much like a Zelda in that you just want to explore. You know, that's it.
That's cool.
It's kind of the same thing over and over everywhere you go, different, you know, but there's always nooks and crannies.
Sort of like Halo.
Yeah. Infinite. I mean, but I mean, it's still fun. There's enough to keep you interested. New armor sets, new, you know, new little challenges here and there. It's fun, man. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is just sit on a perch and like use my arrows to like kill like big, like giants and shit like that. It's real fun, but.
Nice.
You know, where they can't even get to you. Like, you know, they're like on a, you know, like there's like these like little plateau pillars, and like you can like perch on one above, and they're looking at you, and they're trying to throw like rocks at you, and they can't even come close. I love it. It's so awesome.
But, that does sound fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to
RP Grinders reviews.
Now, break. Do you have any reviews?
Are we going to talk about that one show?
Yes, we are.
Okay, then that's all. That's all in review.
Well, I have one other review besides that. Let me talk about that first, and then we'll get into Boba Fett. So if you're into Boba Fett and you haven't seen like the series, any part of it, you're going to want to, you know, turn away in a few minutes. But I'm going to review really quickly a movie called Stillwater with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Yes.
I love Matt Damon.
Now, Bernie and I saw a preview for Stillwater, and we were like semi-interested, right? About this guy that's trying to get his daughter out of jail in a foreign country. And, you know, it seemed intriguing, right? Maybe there was a little intrigue and excitement and, you know, stuff like that. No. This is one of the most disappointing movies I think I've seen in a very, very, very long time. It was, in a word, awful. It was a drama, and Matt Damon playing this character, this guy from Oklahoma, you know, kind of Midwestern, you know, just like all-American dude, was just one of the most uninspired performances I think I've ever seen. It's like he phoned it in the entire way.
Wow.
I mean, literally, like, just, I mean, other than him putting on a little weight and, like, you know, kind of having like a dad bod type deal, I mean, nothing really happens in this movie. Nothing. I mean, you thought that this dude was going to, like, go in and, you know, like maybe, like, make some moves, even dramatically, to try to get his daughter out. I mean, something does happen in the movie. Like, there's this guy that supposedly is the real killer and stuff like that. So he does, like, go and capture. But even, like, it's so benign. He, like, goes and he, like, punches this guy out cold, puts him in the car, and next thing you know, he's in a basement and, you know, that's it. I mean, that's it. And then his girlfriend at the time lets the guy go because the police are onto him or something. I mean, it's not even exciting is what I'm telling you. And Freak 5 is exiled again. So, you son of a bitch. it's just really, really bad. I give a 2 out of 10 for Stillwater, because the only reason I give it a 2 is because the French actress in it was actually fairly interesting, and the little girl was kind of interesting as well. So, yeah, the little girl was kind of adorable. So, other than that, Stillwater, pass, hard pass, run away from that movie. It was bad.
That's the lamest review ever.
That's the lowest I've ever given anything.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. 2 out of 10 for Stillwater. It is. It's a bore through and through. So, do not watch Stillwater. On to bigger.
And Matt Damon.
Oh God,
I love that joke.
I mean, I like Matt Damon. Like, don't get me wrong. Fine. Yeah, he's a fine actor. He's. I don't think he's won an Academy Award, but he's been nominated before. I could be wrong on that, but. You know, whatever. How many negative exiles? You got a total of 1, you son of a bitch. Don't even try to get out of it.
He ain't going to get an Academy Award for that one.
I think he was literally going for an Academy Award for this movie, and there's no fucking way. I don't even think he was nominated, and nor should he have been.
Is this the one based on, loosely based on Amanda Knox?
I have no idea, but it's terrible.
Possibly.
It's terrible. If you could name this movie Watching Paint Dry, it would have been more exciting. I mean, it was literally that bad. But anyways. So let's move on to Boba Fett. You want to start in, Breakman, and then I'll join you?
I'll say it's all fun and games, and then Boba Fett shows the fuck up with a rancor.
Yes, he does. You know, you said some interesting things last week that I couldn't comment on, Breakman. Mm-hmm. The 2 episodes where it was basically Mando, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to give it a pass because, I mean, that's the way these series are going, interconnected, right? So,
seemed like we've already got 2 seasons of The Mandalorian. We know who The Mandalorian is. And, Cad Bane. Cad Bane was one of my favorite characters they added in the Clone Wars. It was so amazing to see him, like, live action. He was fantastic. But The Mandalorian already has its kind of established lore and stuff like that, where the Book of Boba Fett was just really starting to establish what he's going to do. And then they kind of took this hard ride over The Mandalorian. And I wouldn't have a real problem with that, but the Mandalorian and the Grogu episodes were better. They were the best episodes of the show.
Which ones? I'm sorry.
But the Mandalorian and the Grogu episode, those 2 episodes.
Yeah.
They were the best episodes of the season.
I disagree. I think the last episode was the best of that whole, but they were all really good in my opinion. Now, you were talking about something. I didn't have a problem with the Power Rangers, right? You know what I'm talking about, Breakman, with the 4...
Oh, the people are complaining about... People complain a lot about this show, and a lot of the complaints are just whatever. Just, it's Star Wars. Like, you guys want it to be Oscar-winning.
Right, right.
Like, now, you guys want, like, perfection, and it's not always going to be perfect.
Now, specifically, I did have one problem with that Power Ranger episode. I didn't like, I mean, the chases were slow speed to me. Like, there was no, I mean, there was urgency, but it didn't, I mean, it was like they were like chasing each other on tricycles or something. That's what I felt like, you know. It wasn't like Mando's fucking badass, like, speeder, right? To me, it just seemed like they were all on tricycles chasing each other, even in the cars. You know, it's like this was like, oh boy. Yeah, Weiland says the Skittles Kids episode was Matt Pick. I don't mind the Skittles Kids.
That is such an awesome sentence. Yeah. We can't just pass that over. He called them the Skittle Kids.
Skittle Kids. I do like them. I think they're interesting. I just the only problem I had with that episode was the actual chases. Those weren't car chases, man. I mean, I've seen good car chase movies, and that to me, like I said, it was like one person on a tricycle chasing somebody on another, like Hot Wheels or something. That's what it seemed like to me. Like I don't know, I was disappointed in that aspect, but I didn't have a problem with the colors or anything like that. You know, like you said, I mean, it's fucking Star Wars. I mean, they tend to do things like that. You know, it's no...
Yeah, like, it's supposed to be... Star Wars is always meant to be, like, an all-encompassing thing where families could watch together. It's not supposed to be taken too seriously as much as, like, the most vocal fans have taken it.
Yeah, yeah. Wyland says the Mondo apps were actually supposed to be in the Mondo show. I believe you, Wyland. He's like a Star Wars guru when it comes to all that shit. But
so good. Those were so good.
They were like, great.
When they played the Mando's theme at the end of like the fourth episode, and like it's like we're gonna go find an ally, and they just told you right away it was Mando. It's like, oh, thank you. That's nice.
You know what I love? The build up to Grogu. I mean, Grogu. At first, Grogu was just like, obviously, you know, a way to sell a bunch of fucking toys and all that. Mm-hmm. But Grogu actually has an interesting character now. You know what I mean? And him, I mean, they can do an entire series with Mondo, and Grogu on his own could be, you know, really, really good. I can't wait till Grogu starts talking. I think that's going to be.
I was kind of wondering that because I'm thinking, like, Grogu's in his 50s now.
Hold on. No, go ahead.
Grogu's in his 50s now, and I think Yoda was not that much older when he started training younglings. I think.
Yeah, he said a word. Right. He said one word, so it's not going to be too long, and Grogu will be talking. And what I like is, like he did choose Mando, which is the right choice, right? I mean, there's no doubt that... I mean, I didn't have any doubt that he was going to pick Mando.
One of my favorite scenes was when it shows up in the starfighter and R2 tells the mechanic his name. Grogu, that's a terrible name.
Yeah, but she mispronounced it. She said it differently. Did you catch that?
I didn't actually catch that.
Yeah. She mispronounced his name. I think she couldn't understand the interpretation of his name. She said something different. She didn't say Grogu, but I like that a lot. I think her character is fun. I think you could do a whole fucking 6-episode series on her alone. You know, imagine the shit that she's seen in her time on Tatooine, man. I think that'd be a ton of fun.
She dated a Jawa at one point in her life. That's kind of like, what?
She dated a Jawa, man. That's funny as fuck, man. I'm glad they hired that YouTube.
It seems like she's going to maybe start dating that Twi'lek next. I'm just saying.
Or one of those little teeny droids. one of her helper droids. I'm glad they hired that YouTube guy to fix the deepfake stuff. Yeah, I agree, Wyland. It wasn't looking great beforehand, but they did a good job, man. I mean, I can't fault this series. I mean, other than that one car chase debacle that I thought was really cheesy and really terrible, I thought overall Boba Fett was really
it's
really
getting
good.
A lot of complaints. I know another complaint was the Wookiee, like how the Wookiee was able to sneak in past all these guards and attack Boba Fett while he was sleeping, basically.
Like, right,
he's a bounty hunter though, not just a Wookiee.
Right,
like, he knows how to sneak in to do espionage and shit like that.
Right, especially at night, because if you notice, his coloring's way different than Chewbacca. Right. So he's like a darker, but he's a badass, man. He was one of my favorites. And then the one criticism I have about him is like he's getting shot, right? And it's looking like he's going to die. He's like laying out on the battlefield and they come to save him, right? So they all come and save him and he's like, you know, like getting help and stuff. And next thing you know, he's like shooting like normal and running like normal and stuff like that. I was like, man, fucking Wookiees must have like fucking Wolverine abilities to heal, man. You know, it's like Black Kersantan has always been awesome. That's his name. I don't know the names, man. I didn't even know. The name of that cowboy guy, but that cowboy guy, what was his name? They set it up here. Cad Bane.
Are you talking about the bounty hunter Cad Bane, or are you talking about what's that guy's name? Marshall.
The Marshall sucks. I like Timothy Oliphant, but they could have did so much more with Timothy Oliphant. I wish he would have.
Spoiler alert. We are going heavily spoilers here. If you watch the post-credit scene, it looks like they are going to be doing some more things with him.
Yeah. Well, that's good because he's too good of an actor to waste on a normal traditional, you know, like sheriff role. I mean, I think he's better than that. I would have been happy if he played Boba Fett, to be honest with you. I mean, I think he would have been a perfect choice, but I'm glad they're keeping him around because Timothy Oliphant's really good. But I like Cad Bane. I never seen him anywhere but this series, to be honest with you, though. But, you know, I just...
Oh, man, he was one of my favorite additions to the Clone Wars.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he was this badass bounty hunter who was always one step ahead of everyone else. And if he ever got into a corner, he was also faster on the trigger.
Yeah, well, I mean, they proved that in this one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's fucking badass. I mean... He's as badass as fucking Mando. You know?
Toe to toe with many Jedi and live to talk about it.
Which is not something that most people can say, right? I mean, how many people have went toe to toe with Jedi and came out the other side none the better, you know?
Yeah, he came out the other side getting paid heavily for it. So, right,
right.
Yeah, it's worked in his favor.
Bubba shot him in the head at the tail end of the Clone Wars and lived. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen the Clone Wars. I gotta watch that. I know I'm way behind on that, but I heard really good stuff from it. So I just couldn't get through that first season. The first season was a slog, man. Ugh. But I'll get back at it. But I don't know. Overall, I give Boba Fett a solid 8 out of 10, especially for that last episode. Holy fuck. I mean, Rancor, right? Fucking Rancor.
Let me address something too. I like that they immediately said this is how he got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too. Like they didn't
waste any time, like 5 minutes in, like, here's how he survived. We know you've been wondering for like 30 fucking years. Here you go.
Well, he was just like in there like being digested slowly, right? Which I didn't know
his Beskar armor saved him.
Right. And I didn't know that that's how the Sarlacc. I thought you got chewed up in there. You know, and no.
No, like just, you get slowly digested over 10,000 years. So it means like with the stomach acids are slowly dissolving right. you.
Weiland does have a good question. Where was Danny Trejo's character at? He just up and vanished. That is a good question.
He's the trainer. He's not a warrior. They didn't want him for the fight. You know?
Right. He might have been back at base or whatever. Yeah. I do like that Rancor fight, man. That was a beautiful fucking action scene, man. Just awesome, man. You got a little bit of Godzilla in with your Star Wars. I mean, that's the way.
It shows just an original Return of the Jedi. How much Luke was just an absolute total badass to survive a Rancor fight.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. I mean, they you never really seen a Rancor do what he did in that thing. You just knew Rancors were like the top of the fucking chain as far as monsters go, right? I mean,
well, there's actually what's it called? The Xenobeast? What is that thing? There's a really, really big powerful monster in Star Wars lore. I can't remember what it's called.
And how bad?
But Rancor is really high up on the food chain.
How badass is it that Boba Fett can actually ride a Rancor?
No shit.
So badass, man. So yeah, what are you giving it? So we can continue on here.
I guess I'm gonna say about 7. I enjoyed it, but like I said, I think the bigger problem showed when it was kind of. Boba Fett was kind of outshined in his own on his own fucking show,
right.
By Mando.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to more
like
Mando.
The Mando and the Luke Skywalker and Grogu episode. Like, oh, this was so good.
So good, man. So good. Are we getting another season of Boba Fett?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there'll be another season. He says Obi-Wan is on May 25th. Yep. I saw that. Kind of feels like they missed an opportunity there, but whatever.
I think that's
May
fine.
May 4th.
You're right. May 4th. They should have debuted at May 4th. That wouldn't have been too big of a deal. Whatever. Maybe they'll hype it on May 4th, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, Freak 5, you can come back, man. We're done.
And then is the Ahsoka show after that?
Should be after that. All right.
There's the next season of Mando.
I think it's next season of Mando. May 25th is the 40th. Wasn't it the 45th? Weiland, I thought it was the 45th anniversary. Oh, 40th of New Hope. I see. I gotcha. Okay, well, that makes sense. That's why they did it May 25th. All right. Let us move on, unless you got anything else to review, Breakman.
No, that's it.
Alright.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Alright,
actually, I did want to go back on that. Another thing was his whole interaction with the Tusken Raiders and how it humanized Boba Fett and changed him as a person.
I like that. That was, great. All right, that's it, Freak Five. We're done, promise. But
that was early in, so you will really see that like right away.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got several Stinkos. I'm just gonna go ahead and say his name right away because I want to talk about him now, and maybe I'll mention him on Twitter every once in a while if I'm responding to somebody. But I don't ever want to say this jackass's name again. He's not worth it. Yeah, New Hope did come out in 77. What was I saying? Joe Rogan, he continually to find ways to be horrible, and his fake apologies I'm not buying. There was two things that were released this week about him. One was a, you know how he's the disinformation guy.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember what it was that he was. His guest was spreading this information on, but the caller called in and said, I'm actually a scientist in this field, and it was a woman, and Joe Rogan just immediately, because she disagreed, I think it is the 45th, I think, yeah, it is the 45th anniversary, I think you're right, Frank. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he started immediately, because she said, no, it's not that, it's this, and Joe Rogan immediately started berating her and just cut her off in every way. Like, it's not just that he is spreading misinformation, he is actively, fighting against real information, facts, and truth. he spreads his fake lies, bullshit. Another thing that he had a guest on there who said that, and this should immediately, he should have treated this guy like he treated the woman caller who was a scientist and expert. But this guy said that all black people have a gene in them that makes them violent.
Oh boy.
That's kind of guess that Joe Rogan has on his show. And he didn't, as far as I could tell, he did not berate that guy like he did.
When Joe caller. Rogan first started, we talked a little bit about this before Breakman. By the way, Weiland says he loves how Joe Rogan triggers you, Breakman. he triggers a lot of people. I used to listen to Joe Rogan, right? And the reason that I used to listen way back in the day, like when before he got onto Spotify and before he was like super uber popular, this is back in the UFC, beginning of when he started with UFC and he started his podcast, right? The reason that I listened to Joe Rogan is because at first he seemed completely fair no matter what subject he was talking about, right? He would hear people out and you could change his mind based on facts and stuff like that. And now he's going to change his name to Joe Rogan, Weiland says. Now he's gotten to the point where hearsay is the norm, right? Like he hears something. I mean, there was a point where he had a guest on his show, and he'll probably never have that guest on his show, Breakman, where the guest was fact-checking him live on air as an expert, right? And he had his facts straight. He knew his studies and where they came from and where exactly you could find it, like on the web and all this stuff. And he fact-checked live, and Joe Rogan just blew it off, right? Like he just didn't take what this expert was saying. To heart, and he's like, and he quickly went on to others, and it's like that's not how you're supposed to like have debate, right? You're supposed to listen to the other person's side, you retort, and vice versa until you both come to an agreement or you both agree to disagree, right? Like if Joe Rogan would have said, "Well, I just don't believe it," I mean, he would have looked like an idiot to me, but at least you could have respected his opinion. Right? Like you could have said, well, they just agreed to disagree, but this guy had all the facts on his side. It's a slam dunk. Right? So, I don't know. I just think that he's, I wouldn't say he's a Rush Limbaugh, Breakman, but he's definitely on the side of misinformation, at least nowadays. You know, he's not into having that conversation, and not definitely not into changing his mind for anything significant. It's always, you know, it's always.
I say Rush Limbaugh because he's got like the audience, like he's got that large audience, and he's spreading misinformation, disinformation. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Weiland says username updates can be performed once every 60 days. Too long for that joke. Yeah, I agree, Weiland. 2 months as Joe Rogan is way too much. But like I said, when he first started, Joe Rogan used to be the shit. I mean, he would have interesting subjects, and you know, he would call out bullshit like fucking flat Earth and, you know, all these stupid conspiracy theories. And the more and more he goes on, he buys into a lot of bullshit. So, you know. Yeah. But anyways, good Lord. Damn, Weiland, it will be released back into the pool after 6 months? Jeez. All right. Yeah. All right. What else you got, Break?
Okay. So moving on from him, I'll never talking about him again. So you can't trigger me now. So what?
Until he says something incredibly stupid and we talk about it on the show. But anyways, go ahead.
Last week we had, I think I talked a little bit about it on the air, we were having an ice storm and then snow and all this other stuff. This is the second snowstorm we've had this year, and before the first one I went out and bought a new snow shovel. Mm-hmm. And I promptly broke that new snow shovel this weekend, which really sucked, so I went back to use my old snow shovel and then broke that one. So that was fantastic. I broke two snow shovels trying to shovel the driveway.
Wow.
Walkway.
Maybe stop being awesome. A cheapo and buying a better snow shovel might be the way to go. I don't know. Just saying.
I guess so.
those dollar store shovels, you know, aren't very good.
Yeah, I guess so. My next stinko goes to, I've mentioned them before, and this time it's because they're being very corporate America. The Peloton company. They unexpectedly laid off, 3,000 employees just suddenly. None of these employees expected it. They didn't see it coming. And they were offered, we're sorry for this. Here's some things we're going to offer you. We can give you a little bit of money, monetary compensation, and we'll give you 1 year of free gym membership.
I was going to say, we'll offer you a Peloton membership.
Essentially, yeah, it's a 1 year gym membership. And after laying off these 3,000 people, the CEO stepped down from his CEO position into a less a position that doesn't pay as much. So of course the CEO just gets a slap on the wrist. So the guys who make the bad decisions that cost the company money obviously don't ever get punished. It's the people at the bottom.
Well, there's always a golden parachute for the executives, yeah. Man. Always. And this is a problem with capitalism, right? This is a systemic problem that if it doesn't get taken care of is just going to lead to our you know, precious United States destruction, man. I'm beginning to think that those studies are going to come to fruition, Breakman. 20 years.
It's getting.
Man.
It's not getting. It's not getting better.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not getting better for the little guys. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're up at the top, the billionaires, soon to be trillionaire, and Jeff Bezos.
If things go wrong in your life, you still get back to being a billionaire somehow. Like Donald Trump. I mean, never really was a billionaire, but he's found his way into it. And he even went bankrupt. What does it get him? He's 10 years later, he's back to flying in his own private jet with gold toilets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and talking about toilets, him, that's my stink. Do you have any more stinkos, Breakman?
I do actually have one
okay,
more.
Go ahead.
It's Black History Month, so I thought it'd be... you know, maybe at least 1 month out of the year, cops would stop shooting unarmed black people. No, maybe a week at least to go without it. They can't. Like, there's just they see an unarmed black man and they decide that they have to fire the trigger. They always feel their lives are in danger.
Yes, I talked about this before, Breakman. Back in the day, being a police officer was fairly dangerous, right? Like in the 50s, I'd say. Mm-hmm. 50s, 60s, 70s especially. Being an officer was dangerous. Now, like in it, like how they like to
this,
say...
This year, they've actually... The shootings of officers has been up because of like gun violence has just been up in general.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
but
not
it's
surprising.
Still, but go on with your point. Your point's still valid. Go
yeah, the point is like it's not nearly as dangerous as it used to be because of qualified immunity and officers being able to get away with pretty much murder. I mean, there have been very rare occasions, right? The George Floyd one comes to mind as like one of the rare exceptions where an officer actually has to pay for their wrongdoing. Oh, wow, look, Super Joe Rogan is in chat. He says, Brake loves my username. So there you go.
That's pretty funny. So anyway, so this officer's in South Carolina. I don't remember his age. I think he was like 30, in his 30s or something. But a black man ran a stop sign, and the cop immediately started chasing him, and it turned into a high-speed chase. When he wrecked his car and was getting out of his car, she gunned him down. The officer, she was arrested, thank God at least. But you know, an unarmed man getting out of a wrecked vehicle is a threat to her. She feared for her life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was black, right? I mean, you know,
I don't know what to say.
That's what I'm saying, Brake Man. Like nowadays, it's like. It's like officers are like, fuck, I can shoot somebody and get it. I don't even want to say black people, even though it happens to black people disproportionately to white people.
But, unarmed black people.
Yeah, unarmed. if people can't see this by now, I mean, for fuck's sake, Brake Man, you're a white man and you can see this. Eric is a white guy and he's said it plenty of times. Like if you just can't see this, then I don't know what the fuck to tell you. You know, this is what black people have been saying for like decades now. You guys are killing us. Do you not see this? And this is before cameras, right?
Yeah.
And now we even have...
That was the problem. There was no evidence because it was covered up by the people in charge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, well, it was all swept under the rug because they were always protected.
But even now,
didn't have like video evidence that we do now. Like it's...
Yeah,
I don't know how people can deny it when we see it like at least once a month. There's a cop shooting an unarmed black man. Like, what the fuck?
Right. There was just a shooting of a guy named Amir Locke in Minneapolis, right? And you would have thought of all fucking places, Minneapolis would have their shit together, right? Those people are fucking sick and tired. I don't care if you're black or white in Minneapolis. Those people are fucking tired of police nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. They fucking burned down a police station to send a message. And if they fuck around too much more, they're going to find out. I mean, I think Minneapolis is going to set the precedence, right? So anyways, in Minneapolis, they gunned another no-knock warrant, which I talked on my other channel about. Like, no-knock warrants should not be a thing. There's too much stuff that can go wrong with them.
And see, apparently they were outlawed. But the judge just approved it anyways because the cop said we need it. So the judge said okay.
Well, that judge should immediately be taken out of his seat. I mean,
like I don't understand like how something can be outlawed, but then they just go ahead and just go do it anyway.
No, it's not outlawed there. I checked it out. Like the mayor ran on basically making policy changes, which they did. But I guess in certain instances they can issue no-knock warrants still. The people were under the impression that this guy, and that mayor's a fucking coward. I saw the press conference after with the interim police chief, who's a piece of shit herself, and they were already coming up with excuses, right? They called Amir Locke a suspect, right? A suspect. This guy was laying on his fucking couch. Did you see this?
I've seen the video. Yeah.
It's horrible. They come in with a warrant, obviously in the wrong place, which can happen. It's just awful. They come in within 8 seconds. This guy was dead. I mean, he was
sleeping in his bed. He grabbed a gun because intruders broke into his house without announcing themselves, right. And suddenly there's a bunch of people pointing guns at you.
Well, I didn't even see this guy grab a gun. He was on his couch. And I didn't even see him grab a gun. They said that, but if you look at the footage,
I can see it in the footage, actually.
You can see it? Okay, well, where in the
but
hell?
They're saying that he pointed at him. I don't even think he got the point at him. Like, I could see him, like, getting it and, like, starting to turn, but
right.
It was executed almost immediately.
Where are the Second Amendment people, Breakman? Where are the Second Amendment?
Yeah, we talked about this before. They're, the Second Amendment people, like, all guns, 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 and, you know, you got a right to defend yourself in your home, and if this is, unless you're black.
Right,
then you can defend yourself. Everybody else is completely fine, you're just not black people.
Right, and you know how I know that's true? Super Joe Rogan in chat had to use a new email address for this joke. Stinko, break not accepting my friend request.
I think, like, I triggered him. Like, he's went out and created a new address just to make this new character and stuff. What?
I think you should accept the friend request.
I didn't get no Twitter friend request. What you talking about?
Maybe on Twitch. Maybe he's talking about Twitch.
I don't have friends on Twitch. Screw that.
No wonder, like, I was, like, wondering, like, not even Breakman's my friend on Twitch, man. That's strange. No, I'm kidding. I think you are, man. But anyways, I mean, is it any... Okay, I talk about this before, right? You're right. It's the Second Amendment people are only there for when people not of the black persuasion.
Yeah, we've learned a lot of those white people get those guns because they want to shoot black people.
Right. And here's the thing.
Because there's a strange black person in their neighborhood, you know, jogging through there.
How dare
he jog in our neighborhood?
Right. If you want proof of this, all you got to do is look at the history of the Black Panthers, right? Nobody was concerned with gun laws in California until the Black Panthers decided, you know what? We had enough of this fucking shit and we're going to carry guns. Like everybody else, we're going to fucking carry guns, our Second Amendment right, blah, 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 blah. Then what happened? They fucking threw the hammer down on the fucking Black Panthers. I mean, interestingly enough, you guys should look at the history of the Black Panthers because that says everything in a nutshell. If you're wondering why things are the way that they are, just look up the history of the Black Panthers. You'll find out a lot of interesting fucking bullshit. Right, just saying. Let's see. I didn't know you could friend people on Twitch. Yeah, you can. Well, follow people on Twitch, Freak Five. It's basically like friends, you know.
It's Twitter essentially.
Yeah, basically.
It's Twitcher.
Twitcher. anything else, Break?
No, that's enough. I've dominated the Stinkos. Yeah. It's your turn.
You know what my Stinko is a Breakman, and it's also my Sweeto. Super Bowl hype, right? And I'm not even talking like the hype for the Super Bowl itself, which in itself can get quite annoying the second week. Like, the first week I'm all about it, right? By the second week I'm getting kind of fatigued, but they are so starving for stories that they'll cover any fucking thing. Yeah. Like, they were... Like, yesterday I saw a thing like about Aaron Rodgers after he won his MVP. He put in... it was a very lovely, kind of like thank you to everybody. Like, he was thanking the Packers fan, and then people would have thought it was a eulogy. You know, it was just. I don't know. I look at.
No, I get you. Like the problem is, it's because it's 2 weeks, and there is only one other game in between, and it is the worst fucking game in all sports.
Oh, God, I think they should get rid of the Pro Bowl, man.
I do. It's an embarrassment. It really fucking is. It's just bad.
I really liked when they first had the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. I thought that was really cool, like the very first iterations when they started in Hawaii, because people were actually playing, even though they weren't hitting that hard and stuff like that. It was just really fun to see, like... the scenery in Hawaii and just, you know, the athletes like letting loose, having fun and you know, basically it was an offensive skill test. Like, the defense never really, you know, like tried to hit anybody super hard or anything like that. But they would have fun with it. They would try to strip sack people and now it's like you can't even touch anybody in that thing. It's like flag football or worse. You know, it's so bad.
The last time I watched the Pro Bowl was because Ocho Cinco was in it. You know, and he was being his regular clown self, so it was fun. But other than that, like, just the game itself is, it's the worst game of football. Just it every year, it's the worst.
Yeah, I agree. It's terrible. Last time I watched it probably was like 10 years ago, man. Literally, like, it's just not good at all. Not good. And to have an MVP of that game, really? Like, you'd be proud of that? Like,
that's
honestly,
an embarrassment.
Like, it's an embarrassment. Like, the other thing they were talking about, look, check this shit out, Breakman. This is what I mean by stinko on Super Bowl hype. Mm-hmm. They were talking about Kyler Murray unfollowing the Cardinals and changing his fucking Twitter profile. Like really? Like, that's the type of fucking bottom of the barrel shit that you get the second week of the Super Bowl, man. It's just,
and also we start talking about all the stupid bets, like betting on the coin toss and shit like that. Like, good God,
who fucking cares? Like, how much a fucking wealthy businessman from Texas put on the fucking Bengals? Like, who gives a shit? It has no bearing on the game whatsoever. I actually think, like, private stuff like that should just remain private. Period. You know, I don't think you should put that out at all, how much somebody bets on a Super Bowl. It's just, it's stupid. It's dumb. I hate the second week of Super Bowl hype, man. But I do like certain things, like about the game itself and how it's analyzed and how, you know, the matchup is and stuff like that, which leads us to...
I always love the Super Bowl.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweet of the week!
I do like Super Bowl hype when it comes to talk about the game itself, right? Like, that to me is the essence of why we like this game so much, right? Like, why sports fans love the Super Bowl so much. It's always, at the very least, an intriguing matchup, right? There's always an underdog and always a favorite, and everybody analyzes, like, what this team can do, and maybe, just maybe, this team can pull it out. Like, if you listen to people right now, the Rams are going to want to run away with this thing. But I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, if the Titans didn't do it, and the fucking Chiefs didn't do it, and the Rams had a hard time with the 49ers. I mean, I don't see why Cincinnati can't at least compete in this game. You know, so I my sweet-o is Super Bowl hype when it comes to the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they have a 50-50 chance, I can't say, like, if they're, which team's better. I would love to, you know, obviously we all know who my sweet-o is. The Bengals are in the Super Bowl, and obviously that's, I want them to win more than anything. That would be fantastic. That'd be my sweet-o for the rest of the year.
you'd be in the Super Bowl club with Denver and everybody else that's won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I want it to happen in a bad way. Like, I really love Von Miller. I was sad that, we traded Von Miller middle of the season to the Rams, but I'm glad that he's there, you know? So, I mean, would I be sad if the Rams won? I mean, I can't say as I would, but I would be extremely happy if the fucking Bengals won it, man. Like I said, they've always been my second favorite team. Obviously, Denver, being from Denver, I'm you know, the biggest Broncos fan ever, which I'm really hoping they get everything resolved with ownership you know, I've been kind of spoiled with the past three championships, but it's been, 6 years since Super Bowl 50 and Von Miller, you know, was the MVP of that one. I mean, I think it would be a good story if Von Miller became MVP of this one, but, you know, I honestly think I'd be happy for either team because of Stafford. Because, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue in this game. Joe Burrow, I told you, Breakman, Joe Burrow is a real deal. I know he got hurt, but that dude, I think when it's all said and done, Joe Burrow is going to have more championships than Mahomes, and I'm pretty sure. Weiland says, no digital code. That's all right, Weiland. I'll eventually get that movie. No worries, man. That's my sweet-o. What's your sweet-o?
That's my sweet-o, too. Super Bowl. I love the Super Bowl anyway. There's been a few games that are just like the clunker of games, but for the most part, the Super Bowl is usually a fun game.
Yeah, Yeah, it is. I mean, even except if you're the Broncos versus San Francisco, or the Broncos versus the Giants, or the Broncos versus the Redskins, and I mean, I think they had a lead in all three of those games too. Man, this really fucking sucks. But you know, whatever. We don't talk about that. We just talk about the three championships that we got, and that's it.
Well, we don't have any. We can only talk about the losses here. So right.
The two losses to the 49ers. Fucking 49ers, man. Fuck.
I don't know. And we would have beat them this year had we had a guy who two games in a row fumbled the first two kickoff returns. And one of them was against the 49ers, which gave them the win, essentially. And after that game, like, he has never done that position again. Yeah. They might have even got him off the team. I don't know.
Well, I was kind of hoping the 49ers would have beat the Rams, man. That way you would have had ultimate revenge if you won. You know,
I know,
but it would have really sucked if you lost to that.
I know, ultimate humiliation.
I know. you know, the keys to the game, though, they just can't let Burrow get sacked 9 times. If that happens, it's over. It's not even.
I don't know. Like, he got sacked more than he actually got sacked more than 9 times against Tennessee, because there are two of them that were overturned because of penalties.
Yeah,
but he definitely got hit. You know.
I know, man, but
managed to win that game, so I don't know. I don't think you can count Burrow out.
I think you can with the offense that the Rams have with Stafford and Kupp and all those guys, and Odell Beckham. Like, they have too much offense, man. If the Bengals get sacked 3 times or less, then they're going to win that game. If they get sacked 4 times or more, then I think it's advantage Rams. I don't think it's even close, man. Their defense is stout. It's really stout. But so is the defense for the Cincinnati Bengals, man. I like their secondary. I mean, I know this is sports talk on Grinders, but I don't give a fuck, man.
They've been causing some very timely turnovers the last few games.
So. Yeah. And you got a safety who's going to be a free agent that you guys need to sign, man. I hope they fucking sign him, because that team's going to be formidable for many, many years with Joe Burrow on that team, man. Like, I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, man. I saw a lot of the LSU games the year that he was, like, fucking unbelievable and they won the national championship a couple years back. He's just a fucking great player, man. He's the most accurate quarterback I think I've ever seen. He's so good. And he has something that most quarterbacks don't, and that's poise. Like, he doesn't care. He'll step right up in that pocket in the face of all kinds of danger, and he'll deliver that football on the money almost every time.
We don't see Tom Brady doing that kind of thing.
No. And Tom Brady's great, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't
say. Tom Brady's the GOAT. I don't really care what anybody says. Until somebody can dethrone him, he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah. I mean, I used to think John Elway was the greatest quarterback of all time, but. Yeah. You know, you got to give it to Tom Brady. It's not even close.
I mean, he's 44 years old. He's got how many? He's got seven rings.
Yep,
I think
seven rings.
The most anybody else has is 2.
I think. Let's see. Joe Montana has 3. I think. Doesn't Joe Montana have 3?
Does he have 3?
I'm pretty sure Joe Montana has
3.
Could be 3. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But yeah.
I think you are right about that, because I think you got 2 in the 80s and 1 in the 90s.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. 90s, I'm pretty sure. But anyways, let's move. Do you have anything else for Sweetos, Brinkman? Well, let's move on to free for all. Hold on. It's a free for all. It's a free for all. I really didn't have much to talk about for free for all, Breakman. But one thing that I did want to talk about that I kind of talked about earlier, has there ever been a movie, Breakman, that was just so thoroughly disappointing that you just were like, "Why did I waste my time like hyping this movie up or having the hype for this movie?" Has there ever been a movie like that?
Yeah, there's definitely have been movies where I was excited, and then it's just like, the most recent one was Matrix Resolution, or Resurrections?
That's yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And just like the more I think about it, the lower the score I want to get.
And I'm not even talking like full-time hype. I'm just like talking like you saw a trailer, right? And you're like, God damn, that trailer is fucking badass. And I want to watch it based on that. And then you go into it and you're like, you have all these expectations and it just falls fucking way flat. And the reason I say that is because Stillwater had a decent trailer. Like, it wasn't like like world beating, you know, you didn't think you were going to get into this movie that was just going to be all action like a Jason Bourne or something like that. But you thought it was going to be like, you know, dramatically interesting, you know. And then you get into the movie and you're like 30 minutes into it. You're like, okay, that's semi-interesting. And then another 30 minutes pass and you're like, when's something going to happen? And then something sort of happens and then you're just like, fuck, this is awful. And it just ends awful and everything. And then you're just left with this stupid taste in your mouth. You know, I'll tell you another movie that was kind of like that for me. Do you ever see the trailer for Alien Resurrections, like the fourth one, Breakman?
I don't know. I probably saw the trailer for it, but after the third movie, I was just like, no. What, they're making a clone of? Okay, this is stupid.
No. Look, the trailer looks super interesting, right? Okay, Ripley's back as a clone, which I thought actually was a decent. At the time, I thought it was a good idea, right? Like, okay, that's cool. That's futuristic. I mean, it sounds okay. You know, I can buy that. And then you saw the aliens underwater, like swimming and all this. I mean, it was, to me, I was like, holy fuck, are they bringing aliens back? You know, because after the disappointment of the third, you were like, ugh, you know. Which, by the way, the third one should have been way better. But the fucking studio got involved, and that just totally, you know, fucked that movie. And I did recently go back to Alien 3 and saw the director's cut of it, and it was slightly better, and I kind of liked it, like, in its own way, even though, you know, it's still not great.
And it's still almost too dark to see half the damn movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fourth one was kind of like that for me. You know, the trailer hype was like, holy fuck, that's awesome. And then you get to the movie and you're like, you know, it's like such a letdown. I'll tell you another movie like that. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, right? After the first two, the first movie was great, Texas Chainsaw 1, right? It's one of the greatest horror movies. I would put it in top 10 greatest movies of all time just based on, you know, how scary it was and the context and all that. But the second one was a complete departure, but it was the same director, and I kind of like it, and it's okay, right? So then the trailer for the third one came out. And it had one of the greatest trailers for any movie I've ever seen. It's like they show like Leatherface in the water, like coming, like the chainsaw coming out of the water, and you know the Saw's family, and then you see Leatherface and he grabs the chainsaw and lightning hits it, and it's like, holy fuck, this movie's gonna be badass, right? Mm-hmm. And then you watch the movie and you're like, oh my god, this is so bad. So bad.
The only one for me that's coming to mind right now is Men in Black 2.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Men in Black movies never really
like,
did it for me.
I love the first Men in Black movie. The second one, the trailer's like, oh, okay, yeah, like I definitely want to see this movie, and the movie was so bad.
Did you watch the behind-the-scenes of Alien 3? I have not, Weiland. I don't know, but I know the studio meddled with that movie, and it was just, you know. Yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 is just boring. It's like, but even worse is 4, The Next Generation, that one with Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger. It was just so bad. Another how dare you, Freak 5? You're exiled, you son of a bitch.
Oh, the Riddick movie.
Oh.
The first Riddick movie. It, like, that trailer, made it look like it might actually be a good movie.
Yeah. I kind of liked the movie, but it was way overblown and way overhyped, and I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was okay. But yeah, I agree with you.
I didn't think it was okay either. I was so
you were disappointed.
Like he was such an interesting character in Pitch Black, and then just I don't know.
I think Pitch Black is one of the most underrated movies, man.
Pitch Black is so good.
I love that movie. Pitch Black has some of the best sound. If you listen to Pitch Black in real, like, true surround sound, it's got some of the best sound of any movie I've ever seen, ever. It is great. I used to put on, like, when I did home theater, I used to put on Pitch Black, like, the beginning of Pitch Black, and it the sound is incredible in Pitch Black, and it's a great movie too.
It is.
Pitch Black is awesome.
What's the reverse of that? Like movies you saw, like the trailer just looked like crap, and then the movie turned out to be pretty awesome.
Ooh, that's a good. Like the Batman movies, I didn't think the trailers were that great, but I thought they were great. Great in general, like the especially the Christopher Nolan ones. Like,
Yeah,
they weren't great trailers, but man, I really like those movies. I don't know,
the Pineapple Express trailer. Just like it didn't look interesting to me, but fucking I love Pineapple Express. That movie's funny as hell.
Which one?
Pineapple Express.
Oh yeah, I like that movie too, man. I think it's funny. Weiland says the only good thing about TCM3 is that Stretch is in it for like. Yeah, she's like a reporter, isn't she, Weiland? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, that movie is terrible. I hated that movie. But I'm trying to think of a movie that had a terrible trailer. That you're like, oh god, that looks like shit. And then you watch the movie, and you're like, you know what movie is better than what people get it give it credit? I have it. It's called Valerian. Have you ever seen Valerian? Mm-mm. Valerian's a pretty good movie, man. I like it. Mm. I have it in 4K, but
I remember trailers for movies that didn't have parts and that have parts in the trailer that weren't actually in the movie, like Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah, there's lots of movies like that where they show you like weird scenes. Yeah, it is weird. Like, why don't, like, that's false advertising, man. Another movie that didn't get a lot of hype and the trailer wasn't very good was Ender's Game. I like that movie quite a bit. Ender's Game. Have you ever seen it with what's his name? Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford.
Mm-mm, no, I haven't seen that one.
I think it's really good.
Speaking of Harrison Ford, there was another movie of him that the trailer just looked stupid, but the movie turned out to actually be pretty awesome. Cowboys and Aliens. Oh, yeah.
That movie was good. I liked it. Yeah, that movie was actually surprisingly good.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Like I wasn't hyped up for that movie, but I saw it later, and then Bernie really likes that movie, so we got it, and I watched it all the way through, and it's not bad. It's way better than expected. 30 Days of Night is another one. 30 Days of Night, I think, is a pretty amazing movie on its own. I think they strayed from the graphic novel quite a bit, but I think... if ever there was a movie that needs a remake, maybe in a series form, 30 Days of Night would be that it. Another TCM soon. I think that one looks good, Weiland. It's coming out on.
I can't believe you haven't like exiled him like 20 times now. Like he's just having fun with us.
Who, Weiland?
Yeah.
I hardly ever exile Weiland. Usually he has good. But should I? I mean, I see what he's saying. He's like the only two fans of that movie talking to each other. Which movie are you talking about, Weiland?
It's three in the making. I think he's talking about Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, I know. Yeah, probably. I do like that movie, though. I think it's good.
What? I like that movie.
Yeah, and Bernie likes that movie, too. Yeah. What else? There's a... Ender's Game is an interesting... And it has one of the best... fucking twist kind of thing to any movie I've ever seen. It all culminates in like the last like couple of minutes, and it's like it's a mind-blowing ending, man. Like I can't think of much more of a mind-blowing ending than Ender's Game. You should take the time to watch that movie, Breakman. It's kind of sci-fi-ish, but it's got this premise that you don't really think about it until like the last 2 minutes, and then you're like, holy fuck, really? Like, damn, that's crazy. It's like this child prodigy that's, you know, gonna lead like the human race to you know, into battle with like an alien army.
So like every other anime.
Sort of, but in live action form, and like, like this guy, like this kid, I mean, he's got to be what, like 13, 14.
Yeah. Like this is an anime, right?
Right.
Live
much.
Action anime. Basically.
Pretty much.
The teenager or preteen is going to save the galaxy.
And he's like getting primed, and they like do these simulations, and the kind of twisted doodah at the end is like fucking mind blowing, man. Let's see. Weiland says, I know the devil's lettuce was involved with Frank and Bernie, but what's Brake's excuse? I like that movie, Weiland. There are certain guilty pleasures that you just, you know. The movie was okay. I liked the book, but most of the sequels of the book were trash. Yeah, I mean, I don't see where it could go from there, Freak 5, to be honest. Ender's Game, but I did like the movie. I like that. I mean, I had no idea the kind of stuff that happens at the end was going on, but, you know, really good. One book is about Ender's friend, Bean. That one was pretty good.
Mr. Bean?
Yeah, Mr. Bean in Ender's Game. He's like, yeah, and he, like, falls asleep right in the middle of it. You know, it's like... So, yeah, what other movies can you think of that had either really good trailers or really shitty trailers, Breakman?
I can't remember, like, the trailer for Blade 3, but the movie sucked.
Oh, God.
The trailer.
The trailer was good. After Blade 2, though, I don't think they could have done anything better. Blade 2 was...
That's true. Blade 2 was one of those, like, better than the original sequels.
Oh, God, I love Blade 2, man. Guillermo del Toro is fucking amazing, man. You know one movie that, speaking of Guillermo del Toro, where the trailers aren't really that great? There's a couple of them. One is Pan's Labyrinth. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Brett.
No, I haven't.
Pan's Labyrinth is fantastic, but there's an even better movie. If you can get past subtitles, which most of us can, The Devil's Backbone. The trailer's not that interesting. But when you watch the movie's fantastic, man. Devil's Backbone is awesome. I still need to see Nightmare Alley. What is Nightmare Alley, Weiland? What's Nightmare Alley? But yeah, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 has to go down as one of the greatest. Have you ever seen the trailer for Texas Chainsaw 3, Breakman?
I've seen a lot of trailers. So.
It's so fucking... It's fantastic. Maybe. Are you able to... view, like, if I put something on the screen, are you able to view it?
Debbie Does Dallas is pretty good.
The trailer or the movie? Let's see.
I saw one of those Debbie movies as a kid.
As a kid?
It wasn't Dallas. It wasn't Debbie Does Dallas. It was Debbie Does Another City.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Let me see if I can get the trailer. Oh, here's the trailer.
I should say I saw like a few minutes of it because, you know, I was a teenager and just a few minutes. Like, it only took a couple minutes and, you know, okay, I'm done.
Can you open another window and see the thing if you take the, if you, you know, mute it? Can you do that, Break?
Ugh, no, my internet's...
All right. Well, I'm going to play it for the audience here, man, and I'll give you a play-by-play after we take a look.
Yeah, I'm trying to reload it and see if I can do, but we'll see.
All right, let's see. Are you able to, or I'll hold on?
Right now it's working, so...
Okay, here we go. New Line Cinema.
Leatherface Does Dallas.
Look at this trailer, though, man. It's fantastic.
And New Line Cinema did have good trailers.
They do, man. Nightmare on Elm Street.
I just thought of it, actually.
All right, hang on.
Some tales are told, then soon forgotten. But a legend is forever.
Badass.
Fucking badass trailer, wasn't it, Breakman?
That's badass, yeah.
It's one of the greatest
trailers. I just thought trailers. Of the worst, like, trailer and, like, everything promotional about the movie being awesome and then the movie being total garbage.
What was the name?
Blair Witch Project.
Oh, wow. You didn't like Blair Witch Project, huh? Hold on.
The first, like, hour of the Blair Witch Project had this awesome build-up and just, like, a creep factor to it that something great was going to happen. And then nothing did.
Hold on. Let's take a look at the trailer for Blair Witch Project.
Well, like, I don't just necessarily mean the trailer itself, but...
the hype.
Remember back when the... Yeah, the people were hyping this as, like, real found footage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw the movie at the theaters, and I thought it was actually decent. I hated the ending of it, though. I thought it was...
I loved the beginning of it. Like, it's just... there was a build-up to it. Like, creepy things were happening.
Right.
And you could see them, like, getting really scared, not knowing what was going on. But then, like, it just kept happening and happening, and eventually, like, it didn't escalate, and then nothing happened. And you're just,
I honestly...
It ends with a guy, like, standing in a corner.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think I did like the movie for the most part, but the ending was like, I mean, this is bad. Yeah, I agree, man. You know what's even worse than that is those stupid Paranormal Activity movies. Like, that's a bunch of nothing that goes on forever, and then at the end, a quick jump scare at the end.
I was about to say that.
I mean, literally,
at the end, the alien pops out, and yeah,
right there. Right. We're having way too much. Freak 5 is exiled, you son of a bitch. Okay, I know what you're talking about, Weiland. Del Toro's new movie, Nightmare Alley. Now I know what you're talking about, yeah. He had another movie he executive produced called, Antlers that was pretty good. I bought that movie, actually. It's pretty good.
When's,
I just bought it.
When's Del Toro's Debbie Does Dallas coming out?
I don't know. The remake of Debbie Does Dallas by Del Toro coming soon, probably. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. I'm eagerly anticipating that one, Brickman, for sure.
I can't wait for the sequels, you know, like what we got, Houston and then Sacramento,
Denver,
Boston,
Cincinnati.
Yep, Denver. She's going to have to go international, so Paris, London, Moscow, you know. She's got a lot of
work
to do.
Yeah, the first Paranormal Activity over an hour of nothing. I hated. The only Paranormal Activity movie I actually liked was, and nobody liked it, was the Marked ones. Because they kind of tied in most of the movies and with that one. That movie I thought was pretty good with the portals and semi-interesting. But the first Paranormal Activity, holy fuck, that movie was... I don't know why people like that movie so much. So bad. So bad.
The found footage type thing. So you don't get to see what's going on. You have to... Your mind kind of has to fill in a lot of the details, and it doesn't work in the same way that, say, Halloween worked, where you don't see Michael Myers doing a lot of the killings, but you know what's going to happen.
You know what's funny is, Bernie and I were like theorizing about Halloween in general and Michael Myers. Michael Myers, if you watched every one of the movies, like, there's like hints that he's like more than human, right? He gets shot all these times, I'm not talking in a cheesy way, like, you know, like a Jason in Friday the 13th where the motherfucker gets blended and he comes back, and, you know, but like certain things about Michael Myers just make him seem like he's like a demon or something. Matter of fact, I think they were even going to make a movie at one time pitting Michael Myers versus like Pinhead, which would have been interesting. Like, John Carpenter and Clive Barker were seriously going to be involved in a movie like that, which I thought would have been really fun. But Freak 5's got a good idea. Remake of Debbie Does Dallas by Rob Zombie. Sherry Moon as Debbie. She laughs like Baby from House of a Thousand Corpses when she orgasms. Oh, man. Yeah. She's gotten better, though, Breakman, I have to say. Sherry Moon Zombie was terrible at first, but she's gotten way better as an actress, honestly. All right, I think that's going to do it. I think that's going to wrap it up, Breakman, unless you have anything else.
Wow, it's almost 9 o'clock. Man, we've been going for a while.
We
haven't.
I
didn't even realize that. Like, I thought this was going to be a short episode with just us two.
I know, I thought so too, man. We had a lot of news to cover, and we had a good conversation about movies and sports. And
apparently we're the only three people on the planet that like Cowboys versus Aliens.
I guess, man.
There's a Cowboys versus or Cowboys and Aliens?
Cowboys versus Aliens, yeah. Yeah. All right. What you got for plugs, Breakman?
You follow me at RP Grinders on Twitter, where you can ask us whatever naughty, disturbing questions you have. You know.
Yeah.
I know some evil thoughts are brewing.
Give us a would you rather. We haven't done that in a while. Give us a would you rather.
Yeah, that's been a long time too.
Yeah. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. You can follow me on any of the systems, RP Grinders. Make sure you sub, share, like, all that stuff. You know, we're coming up on 10,000 views on Twitch. Nice. Blake Man. Yeah.
Awesome. Which is I'll celebrate that.
Yeah. How dare you?
10,000. 10,000.
We might, you know what? I have in my possession a giveaway. Once we hit 10,000 views on Twitch, I will be giving away a They Live Funko Pop. One of the aliens from They Live. So when that hits, I'll let you guys know, and we'll do something fun to give that away. So, all right. Anything else, Breakman, before we get out of here? That was pretty awesome, man. You're kind of learning, man. Even though I hate the harmonica, you know the harmonica
well,
is my. I can't tell you what's worse, harmonicas, whistling, or accordions. Hey, Bernie just has a suggestion here. She said, "I like the cowbell, though. Let's get rid of Valentine's Day and replace it with second Halloween. How does that sound?"
Oh, that'd be fun, yeah.
You should give away a year's subscription.
I would like Halloween number. When it's warmer out.
Free five.
So instead of February, could we do it like in June, maybe?
I know, like a June Halloween. We should just change from October to June. That'd be great. My birthday, June 26th. How about that?
There you go.
That'd be better. That's pretty awesome. You should give away a year's subscription to How dare you, Freak Five? You're exiled, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
How dare you? All right.
She'd lose too much money like that. Maybe like a couple months or something.
What's wrong with you, Brake Man? You're just adding to the misery here. All right. I think that's all we got for this week. Stay safe this weekend or this week. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.
Hey, free. Content ain't free. She's gotta make some money. What do you say? Not cold month?
How dare you, Breakman? How dare you?
Ha 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 ha!